Good morning. Today's daf in Bava Metzia's Mem Vav. We're on Mem Hey Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with the words Itmar. We did this yesterday, but it's a good place to start, so let's get underway. We are here in the fourth parak of the Masechta, and we're learning about currencies. Okay, so currencies are money. So we know that the Torah tells us that there's something called kasef. The Torah totally understands and acknowledges that there's something basically as legal tender. And it's now our job to just simply go ahead and identify and define what is considered legal tender. Now, when I say our job, by the way, I don't really mean our job. In other words, it's Chazal's job to do so. And it's our job to understand Chazal. Okay, so good luck to us. So the but nevertheless, so we have an idea. In other words, when something is a coin and it's minted and it's legal tender and everyone's accepting it, so it's money. Okay, I could say it nice and simple. But after I said it nice and simple, and then after that point in time, then it's just a question of practicality. So I have a silver coin, I have a gold coin, I have a copper coin. So which one is considered a currency? What if I'm exchanging those coins? Which one's a currency? Which one's a commodity? So that has captured our attention since the beginning of the parak. And so now we're going to be moving just a little bit. Okay, and we move now to the Kinyan Chalipin. Again, I did this yesterday, but it's okay. I'm totally fine starting over here. So we're going to talk now about Kinyan Chalipin. So what is Kinyan Chalipin? So Kinyan Chalipin is also known as Kinyan Sudr, and that's the following. Is that normally how is Kinyanim work? So Kinyanim works where I do Mashicha. You want to sell me an item, a movable item, so I take the item and I pull it to me. So that's Mashicha, and that's the Maisa Kinyan. That is how I acquire the item. And there's also Hagbah, and there's also Mesira. But okay, but in other words, but just to make everything nice and simple, Mashicha is a way to be Kona. Now, when it comes to Karka, that's a different story, but that's a different story for a different day. Well, let's not talk about Karka right now. Let's just simply talk about Metaltalin. So how do I do Kinyanim on Metaltalin Mashicha? Okay, good. But there's also another way which you could do a Kinyan and Metaltalin, and that is through Sudr, Kinyan Sudr, which is what you're going to do is that you're going to take an item. Now, I'm going to say a shoe right now because that's what the Navi describes, the Megillas Rus, where we actually saw Kinyan Sudr. So a shoe was used. So and the Pasuk there in the Megillah says that was normal. People took off their shoe and used it as a Kinyan Sudr. So we use handkerchiefs back in the good old days, they use shoes. Anyway. So they took a shoe, and it was a symbolic act done between the mocher and the kona. Now, who exactly transferred over the sudra from whom to whom? So hold that thought, because that's coming up now in today's daf. If I'm not mistaken, that's coming up in tomorrow's daf. But okay, good. So we'll talk more about king and sudra in tomorrow's daf as well. Right? Today's daf, tomorrow's daf. So anyway, so our discussion today is going to be revolving around the following, and that is what can be used for Kinyan Sudr. And I'm sorry, before we get to that, just one other introductory point, and that is Kinyan Sudr is symbolic, meaning it's a symbolic act, meaning the shoe is not going to actually be transferred from one person to the other. I'm just handing over the shoe to you to concretize and formalize that we are making a transaction. It's really that simple. So, but the Torah recognizes, and Navi recognizes, Chazal recognize that this is in fact going to be now a full-fledged transfer of the item. The item now is going to be transferring from one person's domain to another person's domain using this Kinyan Sudr. Those are the ABCs, that's the basics. And now, with all that stated, so our Gemara's discussion over here is going to be revolving around the following, and that is, can I use money as chalipin? In other words, I could use a shoe, I could use a handkerchief. How about using money as a method of chalipin? So Itmar. So Rav Levi Chadamar Mat.
Rabbi, excuse me, where are you up to?
Mem Hey Amud Beis, and we are towards the top of the Amud. We're starting with the words Itmar. It's about 10 lines from the top. Itmar Rav Levi Chadamar Mat Ben Aser Chalipin Vechadamar Ein Mat Ben Aser Chalipin. And over here, a debate amongst the Amoraim in terms of whether or not Matbea could be used as Chalipin. So Amara Papa, my time in demanda Amar. So let's get our heads wrapped around the position that Ein Matbea Nase Chalipin, Mishim de Daita, Tsaras Vitsaras Avida de Batla. So again, we did this yesterday, but good. So why couldn't a Matbea be serving as Chalipin? I could use a shoe, I could use a handkerchief, so why not use a coin, a minted coin? Right? A minted coin is any less than the other items? So the Gemara says, maybe yes. Maybe something less than. Because when I'm holding a shoe in my hand, so we all know and recognize what it is, it's a shoe. Right? In other words, and I know it's a symbolic act where I hand you over the shoe. But at least you and I have an understanding that it's a shoe. When it comes to a coin, however, so what is the person's das when handing the coin over for one to another? So the Gemara says that the one whose position is that you cannot use a matbea is because your mind, your focus right now is on the Surah. It's on the coin, but really not the physical coin, but more of its representative value. There's an image on the coin. In other words, the fact that it's minted, the fact that it is regarded as legal tender. You're looking at the coin more symbolically than you are physically. As a result of that, you know, the symbolism behind the coin is not going to be enduring. In other words, coins come and coins go. You know that kings decide at, you know, at any given point in time that that's not going to be our currency. That currency, outdated. You know what we're going to have? A new currency. So that happens back in the good old days and even to this very day at any point in time. So because you're focusing on the representative value of the coin and not the physical value of the coin, so and because the representative value is temporary, so as a result of that, so therefore there was no king in Sudr. That is an explanation of the position that you cannot do chalip in using a coin. Okay, Tanan. And with that stated, so what we're going to now do is that we're going to see whether or not this position is a tenable position. Is it defensible? So let's take a look at a Mishnah, not just a Mishnah, but our Mishnah. And that is Azav Kodesh HaKesef. Did you notice our Mishnah? So we were exchanging coins. We were exchanging a gold coin for a silver coin. And a gold coin can be coined a silver coin. Now remember, what's pshat in our Mishnah? So when I'm taking gold coin and silver coin and I'm holding them up one against the other relative to one another, the silver coin's a currency, the gold coin's a commodity, as we discussed at length already. So good. So in other words, so when you are exchanging currency and commodity, so when's the kinyan done? When the person takes the commodity. The currency does not create a kinyan. Again, discuss this point at length at the beginning of the perek. That's what we thought the pshat is in the Mishnah. And by the way, that is the pshat in the Mishnah. But, so, my la bechalipin, ushma mina madbea nase chalipin. So right now, the Gemara at least is attempting to explain our Mishnah a little bit differently. And that is that, you know how the kinyan is being done in our Mishnah? So it's being done via chalipin. And if that's true, so then you see that madbea could be acquired via chalipin. The Gemara says, la bedamim. So the Gemara says, no, that's incorrect. In other words, our Mishnah is not, the kinyan of our Mishnah is not chalipin, but rather it's damim. It's what we thought. In other words, I'm exchanging for you. We're bartering gold coin, silver coin. Obviously, it'll take more silver coins to get to that gold coin. Doesn't matter. In other words, it's a straight barter. That's our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, Zav Kohen Esekas of Mechayev, Mi Bayele. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? I hear you. I don't like the language of the Mishnah. Meaning in the Mishnah, it says, Azav kone es hakesef. In other words, that the gold is going to create a kinyan. In other words, why don't we say, that? Shouldn't the language of the Mishnah better be stated where it should say, Azav mechayev es hakesef? In other words, once the gold is handed over, now you owe me the silver. Isn't that the better language of the Mishnah? If, in fact, the Mishnah is talking about bartering, so it's any Azav mechayev. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's what's holding you back in terms of understanding the Mishnah. So just change it. So hachinami mistabra midiktani seifa kesef eino kones azav. And the Gemara says, and I'm telling you right now, that our interpretation of the Mishnah, in other words, it's the original, it's what we're maintaining now, it's really the better pshat. Our Mishnah is not talking about kinyan done via chalipin, it's talking about kinyan done via damim. It's a barter. How do I know that? Because consider, so the Gemara says, so see above, meaning, as we discussed already at length, gold, silver. So gold is a commodity, silver is a currency. So we understand how the transaction can work one way, not the other way. Again, see above. But if our method of kinyan, our Mishnah is kinyan chalipin, what difference does it make whether we're doing the chalipin via the gold coin, whether we're doing the kinyan chalipin via the silver coin? It shouldn't make a difference. In other words, the kinyan should be activated in either of those scenarios. Okay, so, ve'od. So already, and pretty much end of discussion. Meaning, I know the Gemara is going to go a little bit further on this point, but in other words, there really is one way to understand our Mishnah, and that's the way we originally presented it. Our Mishnah is talking about a barter between gold and silver, gold coins, silver coins. It works in one way, not another way, because when it comes to gold and silver coins, one is designed as a commodity, the other is designed as a currency, as we already got done explaining numerous times. It's just that for a moment, the Gemara thought, maybe our Mishnah is talking about a kinyan chalipin. Okay, but it's not a tenable pshat in our Mishnah, and va'od. And before we leave this point, the Gemara just wants to hammer it one more time. Good. We're hammering. Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Ketzav Eino Kornes HaZav, Ketzav Machalo, Asim V'chamishi Dinam Shal Ketzav B'dinah Shal Zav, Afa Pisha Masha Chesa Ketzav Lo Kana, Ashim Shal Chesa Zav. Okay, good. So over here in this Brisa, so what are we given? A lot of detail, right? 25 silver coins, one gold coin. That is the equivalence. In other words, that's the equation, as we already pointed out as well. And you do a Mashicha on the silver, you have not acquired until you do a Mashicha on the gold. Again, the silver is the currency. The gold is the commodity. Nice and easy. And clearly over here, so Iyamar Bishlam Abedami Misham Hachilo Kani Ala Amar Chalipa Niknei. And again, it's just reinforcing the same point again. This is clearly a barter. It's not chalipin. It has to be a barter because consider what just happened over here. So I took the silver. Oh, but I haven't acquired the gold yet until Mashiach's done. Right. Because it's a barter. And again, in a barter, so what we're doing over here is that I'm buying your gold. Right? That's the sentence in which we're going to formulate. I'm buying your gold. So when I'm paying for it, that's not the kinyan, as we already explained numerous times. But when I am taking the actual gold, that's the maisa kinyan. It's clearly bedamim. We're clearly now, it's an exchange between the silver and the gold. Not chalipin. Good. So, because if it were chalipin, so then the kinyan should occur automatically. Okay. Good. So, el amai bedamim yachi emaresha. So the Gemara says, okay. I'm with you, but can we just go to that brisa and can we look at the ratio of the brisa? Let's. Hazav konas the kesef keitzad. So as far as now gold acquiring the silver, so how's that going to work? So machlo dina shel zav besim v'chamisha dinam shel kesef kem shemasha chesed zav nikne kesef b'chol makom shehu. So the Gemara says now, if we're doing exchange between gold and silver, I know we just did an exchange between gold and silver, but over here now we're just going in the other direction. We're looking at it from the vantage point of the other person, and now. Once I take the gold, so now the other person has acquired the silver. Again, if we're talking about damim, if we're talking about a barter, not kinyan chalipin, but a barter, so what does it mean? You took the gold. Now, what should the brisa say? I owe you the silver. That's what the brisa should say. The brisa said, you acquire the silver? No. The silver is a currency. I owe you the silver. Not you have acquired the silver. So Amar Avashi, lo olam bedamim, umay b'chol makum shehu, kamo shehu, kedam arlei. I amar lei ma'arniki chadash yavin alach, lo mas yav lei ma'arnika yishana. Af agav da adifa minayu, my time amar lei, li yeshtan kabi'in and lehu. So the Gemara says, that's what the brisa meant. The brisa meant that I owe you the money. The brisa uses the language of b'chol makom shehu. B'chol makom shehu just simply means wherever the money may lie. I mean, let's say I have two chests of silver. One's older, one's newer. So the original owner of the gold will say to the person now who is going to be What the buyer of the gold now is going to be saying to the person receiving all that silver is that, look, the silver I'm giving you is a currency transaction. It is a damim transaction. I am paying for that for you. And now I get to decide which currency it is I'm going to pay you. I know I got two chests. One are quote-unquote new. The other ones are old. In other words, but it's a currency transaction. I get to determine and decide which currency I'm going to send you.
Are they face-to-face and you're making the exchange?
Yeah.
So it says that I believe, but you're not, it tells you now you're obligated to give me the silver, right?
Yeah.
But making the Mashiach right there, it gives him the gold and he gets the silver, so.
In other words, right, so that's why the Gemara is bothered by the Lashon. The Lashon of the Brisa would have been better had it said, I'm chayiv to give you the silver. That would have been the better Lashon. So the Gemara tries to give a pshat in terms of b'chol makom shehu. But ein achinami, in other words, the better language would have been chayiv. In fact, the Gemara also made that point in our Mishnah. That the better language in the Mishnah would be chayiv, because we're talking about a transaction. Okay, good. Adkan. So where are we right now? So we are entertaining the idea that maybe money could be used as a chalipin, as something which activates a kinyan between two parties. And the Gemara says, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure. It's a machlokes between Rav and Levi. That's how we started off our daf today. And the Gemara says, the position that money can be used as chalip, and what about our Mishnah? And the Gemara says, our Mishnah remains totally totally out of this discussion. Because our Mishnah is talking about damim. We're exchanging gold for silver. It's not chalipin. So our Mishnah doesn't belong in this discussion at all. And we continue. Amar Papa. And now we get to Rav Papa. Rav Papa says like this. Look, whether or not I could use a coin for chalipin, in service of chalipin, it's a machlokas. Okay. Machlokas between Rav and Levi. And look, let's even take the position you can't use a coin as chalipin. And again, what was the explanation? So we said at the beginning of Shir today, because when a person is using an object for chalipin, it has to be a concrete object, a cup, a pair of glasses. It has to be a concrete object. When it's a coin, the coin is a concrete object, but the das, the kavana, may not be on the coin, but rather on the representative value of the tzura. That's what we said earlier this morning. Good. So Rav Papa is saying like this. Okay, let's take the position right now that I can't use a coin as a chalipin. Can I purchase a coin using chalipin? You have a coin over there. I want to buy it. Okay, so what am I going to do? So I'm going to pay you for the coin. Okay, how about this? I don't pay you. I'm ultimately going to have to pay you for the coin. But how about if we do the chalipin with a cup? Here, take my cup. And that will now symbolize and concretize the transaction. Can I purchase a coin via chalipin? So the Rav Papa says, yes. Yes, you can. So, and Rav Papa says, mi didave apere. And he says, and look, can I go ahead and purchase a perishable using chalipin? So, mi didave apere le Rav Nachman, so apere le Rav Nachman, lav afagav di'inu lo avdi chalipin, aknuye makne tivinami, iknuye akne bichalipin tivinami lo shna. Now, let's take a look at the world from Rav Nachman. So, who's Rav Nachman? We all know who Rav Nachman is. But if Rav Nachman vis-a-vis chalipin, so we're going to see this at the end of Shir today. We're going to see this tomorrow. And that is that according to Rav Nachman will tell you that I cannot use peros for chalipin, meaning as the mechanism of chalipin. Why? Well, Rav Nachman will tell you because the Navi describes using a shoe. So it's got to be a durable good. It can't be fruit. Now, for Rav Nachman, from a fruit standpoint, can I use fruit for chalipin? No. Can I buy fruit via chalipin? Sure. So Rav Papa's point is that if I see now chalipin through Rav Nachman's lens, so the item I could buy with chalipin can't be used as chalipin. Well, it's the same thing regarding money as well. In other words, money I can't use as chalipin, but I can buy something I could buy money with chalipin. Good. So this is the position of Rav Papa, that if I want to go ahead and buy a currency with chalipin, I could do so. And meisve. And now what the Gemara is going to do is we'll see whether or not this position, Rav Papa, is a defensible position. So, hayal med begaren, ve'im biyado ma'os. And so where are you right now? You're in the granary. And what you would like to do now is you would like to be part of your Meister Sheni. So you want to be part of your Meister Sheni, but Here are the ground rules. We all know them. We've gone over it numerous times. When I'm poda my own Meister Sheni, so what do I have to do? I have to add a chomesh. So whatever its value is, add another 20%. Now the truth of the matter is 25%. Okay. And I know the numbers are confusing. Don't get confused. Just accept what I'm saying. Beautiful. Beautiful. So you're going to be adding on 25%. That's a lot more than its value. But okay, good. That's what you have to do when you're poda your own Meister Sheni. However, if you're poda somebody else's Meister Sheni, you don't have to add the Chomesh. Okay, so wouldn't it be convenient now that instead of you being poda your Meister Sheni, somebody else did it for you? That'd be convenient, wouldn't it? So now, v'ein b'yado ma'os. Now, it happens to be that right now your friend doesn't have any money. Omer l'chaver ha'peres alalu nesun lach b'matana v'choz v'omer ha'rehein m'chulan amal sheish li b'bayis. So over here, a little bit of accounting. Okay, what's it called? It's a loophole. And I understand whenever we talk about any kind of harama, so then the question always begs, which haramas are okay and which haramas not okay? In other words, tax loophole or something which is illegal. Okay, and I know that you know that the line is thin between these two. This one is a loophole. This one's okay. It's legit. Okay, and that is as follows. So currently, right now, so you'd like to get out of having to pay the chumash. Totally understandable. So what you'll do now is the following, and that you go to your friend and you say to your friend, here, take my fruit. Ah, so the fruit no longer belonged to me. And now I'll be poded. Right now I got the money. So I'll be poded with the money. And v'chozev ha'omer, ha'rehein v'chulan, ha'mal she'esh li babayis. Okay, good. Says we are now on the top of Menvav Amar Aleph. Now, taima de'en b'yado ma'os ha'yesh b'yado ma'os, likne lehu idach b'mishicha uparech da'achiyadib da'avelei nachri. It would be better if instead of giving him the fruit and I'll be poded with my money, it'd be better if I gave him money and he'll be poded my fruit with the money that I gave him. Now, why is that better? So I'm going to read Rashi because I also struggle to understand this a little bit. Hachi Adif, Rashi writes, Eino Niros Arama Kokach Lihipater Menachomish. So Rashi writes really succinctly that it doesn't look as much of Harama because, in other words, I haven't manipulated. Now that I'm thinking more about it, I understand it even a little bit better. In other words, I'm not manipulating the actual Meiser Sheni itself. Meiser Sheni itself, status quo. It's mine. It remains by me. And somebody else wants to redeem it? Okay, good. It happens to be that I funded him. Okay, but that's the harama. But it's better harama. It's lighter harama than me actually taking the Meister Sheni produce and handing it to him. Oh, good. Now I'll be poded. Okay. It looks worse. Regardless. The point of the Gemara is as follows. So, what's better? In other words, what I need right now is either the money or the Meister Sheni not to be with me, but to be with my friend. So what did the Mishnah over there? It's a Braisa, right? It's not a Mishnah. Sorry for getting technical. So, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. Okay, it's what's called fourth parak of Meister Sheni. Okay, anyway, so what does this Mishnah just teach me? So the Mishnah just taught me that, you know what I'm going to do now? I'll give them the Meister Sheni produce, and now with my money that I have, so I'll be poda. So now, so the Gemara's question is as follows. Iyamar, matbea niknu b'chalipa niknu le, ma'os lehecha gavsuta v'le frok. So now, what's the problem? In other words, the assumption is better that he has the money and I keep the Meister Sheni. That's better. The problem is, how do I get the money from me to him? So can't we do King and Siddur? In other words, can't King and Siddur now go ahead and transfer the money from me over to him? Now he's got the money and he can be poda the Meister Sheni. Why can't we do it? So the Gemara says, Leisei Siddur. So the Gemara says, well, currently right now I don't have Siddur, meaning we don't have a handkerchief. In a moment, the Gemara is going to marvel at the idea that you don't have a handkerchief. Meaning, and by the way, when we say handkerchief, it doesn't mean handkerchief. I mean, yes, it does. But in other words, it could be any article of clothing. It could be the kippah. Take the kippah off your head and use it as the kinyan siddur. It could be a sock. Could be a shoe. What in the world does that mean he doesn't have a siddur? Okay, right now we're saying it. And I know that's funny. And the Gemara is going to acknowledge that. V'nignin u'ni'alei agav karka. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we do the following? And that is, why don't you transfer the money using a kinyan agav? So the Gemara says, the leis lehu karka, v'ha omid begorin ketani, begorin shena shalom. Now, how do you not have property when you're in your granary? The Gemara says, it's not your granary. Okay, again, this is obviously dechukim. These are forced answers. So the Gemara says, ich vel tani lashminan, gavar artilai, deleis le velo klum. So the Gemara says, come on. At this point in time, I understand that what we try to do is that we try to give answers that are muchrach, but at this point in time now, you are twisted in a pretzel. The guy currently is naked. Now, I know that strong language of the Gemara. I know that. But the point is that if he can't do King Siddur, he doesn't have an article of clothing on him. Okay. So, whether the word naked over here is to be understood super literally or just the fact that, you know, he has no clothing, he can totally spare. Anyway, but, and on top of that, he also has no property, like it can't be. So Allah Shmamina in Mabea Nikna Bechalip and Shmamina. So the Gemara says, okay. So, in other words, instead of giving these answers which are incredibly forced, let's just go back and let's just simply say it. money cannot be transferred via chalipin. Okay. And Ve'af Rav Papa Hadar Bey, and even Rav Papa himself, he's the one who even presented. You know, even if money can't be used as a vehicle, as an instrument of chalipin, but money can be transferred using chalipin. So even Rav Papa himself backed off from that position. And the story, and we've been recounted the story a couple times in Shas, and today's no different. We get to hear the story again. Rav Papa was owed a lot of money, right? Rav Papa was a successful businessman, a brewer, nonetheless, right? A brewmaster, if you will. And so anyway, so he had an account receivable, huge account receivable. Somebody owed him an insane amount of money, right? $12,000. And now it was out there in Beit Chuzayin, he needed somebody to collect his account receivable. And so now he asked Rav Shmuel Baracha, hey, could you go and could you collect the money for me and bring it to me? Now, I'm just giving you a little more narration over here than the Gemara does. Rav Shmuel Baracha said no. Respectfully, of course, he said no. No, because what am I going to do now? I'm going to be carrying that $12,000 with no benefit and all the liability? Thank you, but no thank you. In other words, and on top of that also, when I get there, he's not going to want to hand it to me. Because I don't really, I'm not interested in carrying that liability, he's not going to want to give it to me. So I'm going to go there, and he's not going to want to hand it to me. So, Aknina L'Rav Shmuel Baracha Agav Asipa Debeisei. So where Papa says, is that good? Here's what I'll do. In other words, I'm going to, before I send you, so that money will belong to you. I'm going to be coning that money over to you. You will be the owner of that money. So now when you go there and you say to him, hey, give me the money, you can actually say, hey, give me my money, because I'm being coned of the money to you. And obviously he trusted Rav Shmuel Baracha. And so that when Rav Shmuel Baracha now collects the money, he in fact is going to now deliver it to him. And that's what Rav Shmuel Baracha does. He goes ahead now and he collects the money with the, what's the legal term? It's not just an IOU. It is he gave him power of attorney. Okay. Anyway, so Kiyasa Nafik Lape Atavach. Now Rav Shmuel Baruch is coming back with the money. Rav Papa is so happy. Right? Good. In other words, I'm getting my account receivable. I'm collecting. And he was so happy. Rav Shmuel Baruch, thank you so much. In other words, he didn't wait till Rav Shmuel Baruch made it all the way back home. In other words, he ran out to Tavach. It was the name of a place. He was so excited that Rav Shmuel Baracha collected his money. Anyway, the point of that entire story is that I need to transact cash. I need to make a kinyan on cash to another person. I kinyan chalipin, not an option. The only way he did it was kinyan agav. Okay, that's the whole point of the story. V'chein amar ulein matbea nase chalipin, v'chein amar avasi ein matbea nase chalipin. Sorry. Before I continue. Okay, so. We just finished a discussion regarding a sub-discussion, and that's within Rav Papa. Rav Papa said that when I acquire money using chalipin, Rav Papa at first said, sure you could, and then Rav Papa says, no you can't. And it seems to be that that's the halacha. Even Rav Papa himself accepted that was the halacha, that I can't acquire money using chalipin. Okay. We go back to the discussion of using money as a chalipin instrument. Meaning, what does the Navi describe? A sudar. Well, actually, the Navi describes a shoe. And we said a shoe, a handkerchief, anything which is the definitive article, a concrete item. What about using money as an instrument for chalipin? Yes or no? So it's a machlokas between Rav and Levi. Okay. Now we go back to that. Good. That's a smoother transition. V'chein amar ulein matbea nase chalipin, v'chein amar rav asin matbea nase chalipin, v'chein amar rav ababrachan amar rav yochanan, ein matbea nase chalipin. So we just strung together three amarayim who are all in agreement that the money, the coin, cannot be used as an instrument for chalipin. Eisvei Rabbi Abba l'ula, so the Gemara says, okay, now we get to challenge. Harisha yuchamar of po'am tovim osa b'shok. Okay, so what happened is that you have workers and you're a little bit behind in payment. Or even if you're not behind. I don't know why I had to add that detail. In other words, but you owe them. In other words, so you have workers and you owe them, and you're meeting them in the marketplace and they say, no. We worked, you have to pay me. So, Amar Lishokhani Tenli Bedina Ma'oz, Va'afarna Same, Va'ani Elcha, lach yafa dinar vitrisis memakum sheshli bebesi. So, and so what do you do now? So you happen to be in the market right now. You don't have any cash on you. Your cash is at home. Okay, so you basically go over to the shulchan. So you go to the bank that's right there in the market. And you say to the bank, do me a favor. Okay, you're going to front me the money. And so I can pay my workers and I'm going to pay you with the money that I have at home. Okay, now this is going to cook everyone's noodle, myself included. This particular case, I think it's the first time we're seeing it in the Masechta. Okay, but could be wrong. But anyway, so over here, and this is going to cook everyone's noodle. It cooks my noodle, and that is that. And what you tell the bank is, oh, by the way, in other words, put up. I owe a dinar, so give me a dinar. And when I get home, I'm going to get my money, and I'll give you a dinar. And on top of that, I'm also going to give you tristis as well. I'll give you a small coin as well. In other words, a fee. In other words, you're going to charge me a fee. Good, charge me a fee. I'll pay you the fee. Okay. Now, hopefully everyone at this point in time, the fire alarm is going off in your head. In other words, that's ribbis. You can't do that. So of all the things we're going to be discussing right now in the Gemara, that's not the one that we're really going to be focusing on over here. Because all we're focusing on, at least for the time being, is this idea of, can I use a matbea for kinyan chalipin, for sudder? So im yesh lamaos motavim lavaser. So if you have the money, that's fine. Then it would be mutter. If you don't have the money, so then it would be aser. Okay. Now, if you have the money currently available in your house, so then that's going to be fine, and it's not going to be a violation of ribbis. If you don't have the money and you're only going to be producing money at a future point in time, so that is ribbis. Now, why isn't it ribbis if you have the money currently? See Rashi here for an explanation. Only because of time, in the interest of time, it's a ribbis discussion. It's an important discussion. It happens to be that we're going to discuss it when we get to the fifth parak. So when we get there, I'll discuss it. I'm going to stay right now focused on the one singular point that the Gemara wants to make. So the Gemara says, now, if matbea, if you're taking the position that matbea cannot be served as chalipin, so now what we're looking at over here is a hava. Meaning, that money right now that I'm asking the bank to front for me. So now, if I'm not acquiring that money, so then even though, despite the fact that I have the money in my house ready to pay back the bank, but in other words, but effectively what we're looking at is a loan. And if we're looking at a loan and I'm paying additional money for that money, well, that's called interest. In other words, the only way this transaction can work is if what I did is I acquire the money. It is a mekach umemkar situation. So the v'habi lehavav aser. So ishtik. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, the only way that transaction can work is only if I'm acquiring the money. But how am I acquiring the money? So I'm acquiring the money using kinyan sudor, right? And the kinyan sudor is done via the money itself, meaning the money itself is serving as the instrument for this kinyan. To which the Gemara says, Amrle Dilma Idiv Idi Biprutitoshani. So the Gemara says, well, what we can suggest is the following, and that is that I know we sounds like we're talking about money, but we're not talking about money. We're talking about unminted coins. In other words, pieces of silver, pieces of copper. Maybe that's what the Bryce is describing over here. So Dilma Alaihu Tiva. So I got the glasses on also. Deleika alayutiva. So idiv idi perehavu, and then mishum hachi niktum bechalipin. So the Gemara says, so now, what are we doing over here? In other words, again, what I'm promising the Shulchani is that I got money in my house. You'll front the money for me, and now, you fronting the money for me, so immediately I'm going to now do a transaction of the money in my home for the money that you're fronting for me. Okay, in other words, we're exchanging. The Gemara says, but if we're talking about money, so this is proof positive that money can be used as chalipin. So the Gemara says, nah, it's not talking about money. It's talking about unminted coins. So and that's how the transaction's being done.
Why isn't unminted coin considered like just an object?
That's exactly the point. It's exactly the point. It's an object, and an object can be used as a kinyan chalipin. So Amalei in Dekanami Diktani Yafe Dina Vitrius Velo Ketani Dina Yafe utrisis. So the so in other words, and if you look carefully at the wording of the Braisa, it's not a forced answer. We're saying good. The Braisa is describing it's not a coin. It's not a minted coin, because if you look carefully at the wording, it says yafe dinar utrisis. I have something in my house equivalent to a dinar and a trisis, meaning not the coins, but something of worth that's worth a dinar and a trisis. Shmamina, the Gemara says, very good. Okay, very good. So that's a very good way to understand. Rav Ashi Amar La'olam B'damim Uve Prutatos Dekem D'Esle Nasek Amar Alveni Ashi Avo B'ni Ashem Samavteach. Rav Ashi is effectively saying the same thing, meaning that over here what happened was is that my workers are demanding that they get paid. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the Shochanit to pay them. So, and what we're saying over here is that the Shochanit is paying them not using cash, but rather using an item of value to pay them. And what I'm going to be doing is that I'm going to give the bank an item of value that I have in my home. And over here, the just the question of is how exactly is this transaction going to be structured? How is it working? So if it's working with Kinyan Suda, which was what we proposed just moments earlier, it works fine. Because over here, we're not talking about coins. We're talking about just simply items. Okay. The Rav Ashi's approach over here, extremely similar to what we just said. Rav Ashi's just simply saying, it's a barter. It's a barter. Meaning that what we're doing over here is that when the bank is fronting, and I'm going to give the bank, we're just simply exchanging what I have at home with what the bank is fronting for me. It's just simply a dummim transaction. This is what's now called sa'a bisa'a. So as we're going to learn again in the fifth parak, when we have a sa'a bisa'a transaction, even though I'm handing what is more than what I'm receiving, as long as I have the item at the time of the transfer, at the time of the trade, so it is not a violation of ribis, not even midrabanan. Again, I said that really quickly. I know I said that really quickly. When we get to the fifth parak, we'll do that again. Hopefully with even more understanding. Okay, Tashma. Kol nasa damim ba'acher kev shazachah zen ischayv zeh b'chalipin. So, we turn to a Mishnah and Kedushin. And the Mishnah and Kedushin is going to effectively make the same point, which is, again, what are we litigating? Whether or not a coin can be used as an instrument for chalipin. And so over here, the Mishnah in Kiddushin, Kol Nasa Dama Ba'achi, Kevin Shazach HaZen, is Chayv Zeh Bechalipin. And what we're going to now do is we're going to just try to understand the simple words of the Mishnah in Kiddushin. Kol Nasa Dama Ba'achi, my Nihu. So let's first look at the first phrase of that Mishnah. Anything which is Nasa Dama Ba'achi. So isn't that talking about a coin? Something that could be used to appraise something else. Meaning a coin. And Shema Minah Madbea Nasa Chalipin. When I hand you the coin, transaction done. I hand you the coin, transaction done. Now, we know we can't be talking about where the coin is affecting the transaction because maos are not kona. Good. That's the starting point of our entire parak. So, in other words, so what the coin is now acting as is that the coin is acting as an item for chalipin. Great. Not great. Because our entire discussion today of the daf is revolving around whether or not a coin could be used as an item of chalipin. If we are right in the way we are learning that Mishnah Kedushin, a coin can be used for chalipin. Yeah, but we just cited Amara after Amara after Amara who says that a coin can't be used as chalipin. So Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar, which now in the Amud Beis, Kol Anishim Damim Ba'acher. So so anything which is normally appraised, in other words, any item which is normally appraised, not currency, any item. So kevin shezachazen is chayiv zeh bechalipin. So that could be used effectively for chalipin. Meaning, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that any item open for appraisal, whether it's a durable good, whether it's a perishable, i.e. food, as long as it can be appraised as a value, it can be used as an item of chalipin. Hachinami mistabra. And the Gemara says, and I know that that's what the Mishnah is telling us because look at the example given in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is giving an example of a pri. Now, I know it's an animal, but an animal is a perishable. An animal is not a durable good. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what. Now I'm so invested, pun intended, I'm so invested now in the second pshat that we just offered, that the Mishnah is not talking about a coin for a chalipin, the Mishnah is talking about a perishable for a chalipin. And because that's the example that's given in the Mishnah. In fact, I'm now challenging how you even thought for a moment the Mishnah was talking about a coin. Because if the Mishnah is talking about a coin, then the Mishnah says, and oh, let me give you an example. Well, if we were talking about a coin, why in the world would you then give an example of an animal? That's so strange. So the Gemara says, my ketzad, hachi kamar. So peri nami avdi chalipin ketzad, hechlif shor beparo chamor b'shor. So the Gemara says, no, what I'll tell you is the following. And that is that the correct way, the proper way to understand the Mishnah over there is that the Mishnah is telling us, you know, you could do kinyan chalipin with anything, even a coin. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. And then what the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, I'll do you even one better. You could do kinyan chalipin with a perishable, i.e. you could do it with an animal. Oh, okay. That's how you could understand the Mishnah over there. Okay, so we're going to pause over here. Right, the next part gets a little bit complicated, a little bit. Okay, so but let's quickly recap. Let's review everything we did up until today, because really what it comes down to is that what we covered today is just honestly one topic and one topic only, and that is that can a currency, a minted coin, can it serve as an instrument to use kinyan to make a kinyan chalipin? A kinyan chalipin is where we're going to do a transaction using a symbolic item. Well, the item itself is not symbolic, but the item is going to symbolize our transaction now that we have concretized. I hand you a shoe. I hand you a handkerchief. It doesn't matter what I hand you, as long as it's a durable item. So now, whatever we agree to in terms of what I'm selling you, the sale now is going to be formalized and concretized. I'm selling you the car. Here, do me a favor. Pick up the handkerchief. Okay, good. And it works. So that's what's called kinyan chalipin. What can be used as kinyan chalipin? A shoe. What could also be used kinyan as chalipin? A fruit. Debatable. In fact, tomorrow morning, we're going to be Mirza Hashem. We're going to be starting off with the machlokas of whether or not you could use a pri. It's a machlokas amarayim. Okay, how about a coin? How about a currency? Also debatable. Although, in today's stuff, what we learned is not only is it debatable, but many, many amarayim are on the side of, I can't use a coin. Because even though the example of the Navi is using a shoe, but a shoe is a concrete item, where we all know its worth. A coin both has a concrete value, but it also has a representative value. It's minted. It's a currency. And maybe when people are thinking about the coin, they're thinking about the tzura, and the tzura is not something which lasts. And so all we did today, I'm giving a really short summary of today's daf, is litigate the question of whether or not a coin could be used as an instrument for chalipin. And the Gemara's conclusion trends towards you cannot.
Cool.